Listen now for the word of God. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, our choir is so good. They make me just throw my palms on the floor when I'm all done. If you weren't able to see it, the stretched out view of all of the screens of people waving their palms was a beautiful sight to see. And so I hope that you were able to see, and I will be able to go back in and do a screenshot so we can see just how beautiful and wonderful that is. So the pandemic does not get in the way of our Palm Sunday. If we were together in the sanctuary, there would be a moment in which we would shift from what our bodies have actually just experienced, from the physicality of waving a palm to moving your arm, possibly until you feel the sensation where it gets tired and you know that you're in this body. And we move from that very physical moment to a space where, as good Presbyterians, we move from worshiping in the body to worshiping in the mind and processing the moment that is about to be filled with words that don't necessarily have a melody. But I want us to consider, in what is my first Palm Sunday in a pandemic, what this Palm Sunday feels like. As I sat down to prepare for service, I noted that it didn't feel like Palm Sunday, and I wasn't sure what that meant. I wasn't sure if that meant that I needed to get dressed up, or maybe it just meant that I needed to wear shoes instead of fuzzy socks and comfortable slippers. But when I sat down to prepare, I realized that maybe there is something else that we all needed to do. Maybe what we all need to do is to just take a moment and be in the space. Take a moment to be in the body, in the clothing that we're wearing, and hear an old familiar story in this very unfamiliar and unsettling time. I'll invite you to settle into your body, settle into your mind, settle into this space, and just ground yourself with a deep breath. And then let us pray. Holy God, we do pray on this day, the words of the song, "Ride on, King Jesus." We pray that no man would indeed hinder you. We give you thanks for how you rode into the city on that day. And we give you thanks for how you have called us to continue to ride into the city, proclaiming that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We offer ourselves to you now, uncomfortable, awkward, virtual, but grateful for the technology that draws and brings us together. We thank you for the opportunity to worship you, and we thank you for the songs that lift us. We pray now that you would hear our prayer, that your word would come forth with power. And now, O God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For God, you and you alone are our rock. You are our strength. You are our Redeemer. Amen. I'm not sure if you have heard some of what I have heard, and in the talk about Easter and, you know, whether Easter is canceled or not. And I find that amusing, because I think, so if you cancel Easter, does that mean that we keep having Lent until we have Easter? No. I'm good. Give me my Easter. Give me my Palm Sunday. Give me my Holy Week. If I have to have virtual Easter, give me virtual Easter. Please don't cancel the resurrection, as if anyone could cancel the celebration of the resurrection. But there is a beauty, and there's a gravity that comes with this transition from Lent into Holy Week. And it seems that our accounting of late has focused more on how long we've been unable to move about freely. Our movements have become our clock. Our ability to go outside and play has become how we measure time. But 2 weeks before the rest of the world was tracking COVID time, we were already marking time in Lent. And we who do our best to follow Jesus began a journey of just a closer walk with thee. And here we are in our homes and for essential employees out in the workplace, but can't get too close to anyone else besides Jesus. So this has really been the Lent of just a closer walk with thee, because Jesus is the only one we can actually get closer than 6 feet to. So we intentionally chose a Lenten routine. We intentionally decided to change our lives just a little bit for 6 weeks, and all of a sudden the pandemic hits and we no longer have the option to choose our change. The change has now been thrust upon us. And Palm Sunday is an excellent opportunity to think about how we might respond. The pandemic affects each of us differently. Some of us are forced into a new routine at home. Others are concerned about whether they'll have enough money to sustain their households. Some whose lives are in the care of those who may not be deemed essential employees, but who are essential to those who depend on them. There are some who are grieving the loss of lives well lived, and there are some who are grieving the loss of lives unexpectedly snatched by the effects of the virus. Our lives have been turned upside down, and we're trying to figure out how to be and how to be who we were, or how to be who we're becoming. Lent offers us the opportunity to discover who we are. And this particular Lent has offered us the opportunity to see who we are in time of crisis. This particular Lent has offered us the opportunity to find new ways of being the church, new ways of being neighbors, new ways of being family, new ways of being community, and new ways of being our best selves. The story will not be written or understood in the moment. It will only be understood best after we've moved through the moment. So be sure to document how you made your way through this pandemic. Make sure you document all the feelings that you felt. Make sure that you are keeping track of just how this thing impacted you and how you came out on the other side. This is the story of a journey. And so it is with Jesus, who is on this journey. And at this stage of his journey, Matthew presents not just a journal entry written by a man during strange times. This was the story of one who understood the power of apocalyptic storytelling. Apocalypse is not what the movies would have us think that it is. Apocalypse is not science fiction, but apocalypse is merely the act of uncovering. What Matthew's story is, as it talks about the entry into this city, is it is uncovering the identity of the one who has come to rescue us. The rescue doesn't look like they expected. There was another parade on the other side of the city. There was someone else who was coming into the city who looked like he could save the people, but that was not his mission. He came on a great white war horse. And of course we think that it was war and it is fighting that will save us. It is actually not war and fighting that will save us. That one looked like he could save the people. But Jesus, who came in on a donkey, on a humble animal, on an animal low to the ground so he could get near to the people who needed him most. Jesus, who was coming into this city surrounded by crowds who had been waiting for the Messiah. Jesus was surrounded by those who had already uncovered his identity and who were clear that he is the Messiah. And he is the one who's going to change our lives. He is the one who is going to change us from the people who wait to the people who have seen the Messiah and who can live as if they have met and seen the Messiah. These are the people who were shouting and heralding for the sake of the people in the cheap seats, Hosanna to God in the highest. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. If there were any confusion about who this is riding in on this donkey, who this is coming in, trampling the palm leaves, who this is, the crowds have already given the answer. If I had the liberty to translate this into a Philadelphia Inquirer headline, it might read, "Disruptor arrives downtown on a farm animal." The caption under the picture of Jesus on the donkey might read, "Crowds gathered waving recycled paper, branches, CVS receipts, finally finding a use for those endless CVS receipts and declaring in a loud voice, Hosanna," translated, "Save us." Who among us is crying out, "Save us"? Who in our fair city and our community is crying out, "Save us"? The text says that the city was in turmoil, asking, who is this? And the crowds were answering. The crowds were saying, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. What does that look like in real life? It looks like taking a different perspective on our circumstances. I'm not saying that grief and the possibility of contracting this virus are not real, real concerns. What I am saying is that we can't simply let the circumstances wear us out and wear us down as if we have no hope, because that's an option. For the community of faith, there is another option. The marks of God's reign in the world include gentleness. So perhaps when the people cry out, save us, are there ways and places where we might be gentle with one another? Mother Nature seems to have put us on punishment and has not allowed us to leave the house while she heals herself. When it's all over, will we go back to doing what we've always done, causing the earth to cry out, save us, save us? Or will we have changed in ways that make us treat the earth and its inhabitants with a particular kind of gentleness? That would be the coming of the kingdom. Another mark of God's reign and God's kingdom is mercy. As we move through our current circumstance, maybe we find new ways to show mercy. I see landlords pausing rent payments for months at a time. They are answering the cry, Hosanna, save us. Employers working out policies to show that they put people above policy. Hosanna, save us. They are answering that cry. I see teachers shifting from hardline grading and rigid expectations to a place of mercy, because what they realize is that something has been uncovered. What they realize is that the inequities that have always been a part of our lives and our educational systems have been uncovered. These teachers, who may or may not confess Christ as we do, are showing mercy to their students who are crying out, Hosanna, save us. The virus is an equal opportunity virus. It doesn't care about your age. It doesn't care about your gender. It doesn't care about your economic status. But our healthcare system reflects preferences about age, gender, and economic status. In the midst of this moment, we see who is the most vulnerable. Will we answer when they cry out, Hosanna, save us? It is not calling upon us to be the Christ or to be the Messiah. It is calling on us to act as if we know the Christ, as if we know the Messiah, as if we know how to be gentle, as if we know how to show mercy, as if we know how to show love. So how will we respond in this moment? Are we proclaiming the reign of God and asking Jesus to save us as we work to save others? Or are we on the other side of the city, the side where the one who could not save looked as if he could? The one who could not save brought great pomp and circumstance, but had no intention of changing the status quo. Jesus comes to change the status quo, to change the world, and protect those who are most vulnerable then and those who are most vulnerable now. This day, we remember how Jesus came into the city, a city in turmoil that needed to hear the crowds cry out, Hosanna, save us. As we make our way through the very strange Lenten season, as we make our way into the holy darkness of Holy Week, we recall that many things have indeed changed, but one thing remains the same. In times of peace and in times of pandemic, we have the option to come into the city, to come into our homes, to come into any land that we should come across. And when we come to that place, we come with the confidence in the one who saves. The work is not ours. The work to save is not ours alone. It is ours to share with King of Kings, the one who invites us to participate by showing kindness, by showing gentleness, by showing mercy, by showing loving kindness, and all of the things yet to be uncovered in each of us and all of us. We come into the city feeling what we feel, some feeling anxiety, some feeling guilt, some feeling grief, some feeling joy, some unable to name what they're feeling because the feeling is so new, it doesn't have a name yet. But we all come, and we come into the city crying, Hosanna, save us, because we know that there is one who will save us. There is one who invites us to join in the repair of the world and of the city, because we know that there is something about that name. So when we call on the name of Jesus, we call trusting that it is in fact the Messiah who saves, who invites us to take part in saving the world. There is something about that name. Thanks be to God.